You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Today's episode is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, official partner of the NFL. Happy Thursday to you. It's Crossover Thursday here on this podcast and across the Locked On Podcast Network. In just a few minutes, I'll be joined by Sosa Kremenjis, the host of Locked On Rams, for a discussion about the Bills and Rams game on Sunday. But before we do that, want to get into a couple of newsy items that came our way on Wednesday. First of all, Josh Allen, named AFC Offensive Player of the Week after throwing for 417 yards and four touchdowns against the Miami Dolphins in Week 2. It's the third time in Allen's career that he's been named AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and all three came after he played the Miami Dolphins. So it is a really fun thing to see here, Josh Allen owning the Miami Dolphins so far in his young career. The Bills announced that they are protecting four players from the practice squad this week, four like they do every week. Those players: center Jordan Devey, center Jonathan Harrison, cornerback Dane Jackson, and defensive tackle Justin Zimmer. They also had a couple of other practice squad moves. They released Jason Kroom, a tight end, and they placed Evan Bain on the practice squad injured list. Meanwhile, they signed Nate Becker and Antonio Williams to the practice squad, both guys that have been around the team, tight end Nate Becker and running back Antonio Williams. When it comes to the injury report from Wednesday, the following players did not participate in practice: tight end Dawson Knox, wide receiver Cole Beasley, defensive tackle Ed Oliver, defensive end Jerry Hughes, cornerback Taron Johnson, and linebacker Delshon Phillips. So we'll see how severe those injuries are as the week goes along, but those guys did not participate in practice on Wednesday. You may have noticed neither of the linebackers, Tremaine Edmonds or Matt Milano, was on the list. Both guys practiced on Wednesday. Milano, by all reports from beat reporters, was a full go. He was not in a non-contact jersey. Tremaine Edmonds did participate in a limited fashion. He was in a red non-contact jersey. I'm guessing there's some soreness in that shoulder that they're probably wanting to limit opportunities where he has to hit and heal him up for Sunday. But that is encouraging news for the status of those two players on Sunday, both players that the Bills will need against the Los Angeles Rams. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at RockAuto.com. Joe Marino of Locked On Bills, joined now by Sosa Kremenjis, the host of Locked On Rams, here to get us ready for the Bills and Rams game on Sunday. 2-0 teams here as we enter Week 3, and I'm excited for this football game. It's not a very common matchup between these two teams, and so I think we have some good stuff to get into today. And Sosa, I want to start with this Rams offense. Obviously, Sean McVay, an outstanding offensive mind. He's been productive year after year as a play caller when it comes to the pass game and the run game. They score a lot of points. So when you look at this Rams offense through two games so far in 2020, interested in knowing what you've learned and what stood out to you in a positive light and then, of course, in a negative light through two games.
Yeah, so I think for now, you know, the returns have been mostly positive and largely positive, really. Obviously, the Rams didn't have the season that they hoped offensively or as a team, really, in 2019. And so there was a lot of questions about Sean McVay as a coach. There was a lot of questions about Jared Goff and, you know, his ability as a quarterback and a franchise quarterback, if he is one. You know, there was questions across the offensive line. There was a lot of questions about the team and the offense in particular, because this was the offense, you know, that carried the Rams into the Super Bowl in 2018. And so through two games, I think right now the results have been very positive. I think for me personally, arguably the biggest surprise and, you know, the biggest eye-opener for me was the play of the offensive line through these first two games, because that was definitely an area of concern for me entering the season. But so far, I think they've played much better than I expected, at least, and probably more so than, you know, most people expected. So right now, the team is 14th in rushing yards per attempt. They're averaging 4.3 rushing yards per attempt. And so, you know, they rank nearly league average. But at the same time, if you look at, you know, just the amount of volume that they've had in terms of how many rushes they've had, I think arguably they've been, you know, maybe the most run heavy team so far through the first 2 weeks in the season. That's a very impressive number. And even when you're just watching the games, it feels very good. Everything is meshing again offensively. You know, the running game's working. The Rams are meshing everything off of that in terms of their play action game. You see Jared Goff rolling out a lot. And everything seems to be coming easy for the offense right now. And so, you know, that offensive line is also doing a good job in pass pro. And that was probably the biggest area of concern for me. Right now, they rank 5th in total pressures allowed with only 21. And so, you know, they've held up really well. And now, obviously, left guard Joe Noteboom went down with an injury, and he was replaced by David Edwards, who's a second-year player in this past game in Week 2. And, you know, arguably, Edwards might be a better player. So, you know, ultimately, that could, you know, pose as a improvement down the line, though we'll see. But so far, you know, I've been very impressed with the offense. In terms of negatives, I don't think there's been too many. Maybe just two little things that I'd like to touch on is I would love to see a little bit more of tight end Gerald Everett. Now, he suffered a back injury in Week 1, and I think it might have limited him in terms of his availability, obviously, in Week 1, and then, you know, maybe his effectiveness in Week 2. So I would love to see him featured a little bit more moving forward. And I would love to see the Rams kind of take more deep shots, because so far, you know, everything's worked offensively, but they really haven't pushed the ball downfield. And, you know, at some point, they're going to have to, whether it's because of a big lead or a big deficit or even just trying to change it up. So right now, they rank 26th in deep pass attempt percentage, with only 6.9% of their passes registering as deep passes, which are 20-plus yards downfield. So I would love to see the Rams take a little bit more freedom and take a little bit more shots over the top with how well their play action game is working right now.
You know, Sosa, I've been very complimentary of Sean McVay and how productive his offenses are year after year, even dating back to Washington. I mean, his first year in L.A., he's 10th in the league when it comes to offense. And so we're very used to it being productive. But when you see it start to struggle, when things aren't going the Rams' way offensively, what tends to be true about those instances?
Yeah, so I think maybe the biggest gripe for me when it comes to Sean McVay as a coach is, and this doesn't seem to be a theme in this season, at least just yet, but was his lack of, you know, sticking with the running game. I feel like a lot of these young coordinators who are, you know, considered offensive geniuses, and you see it across the league, is they like to get pass heavy and, you know, they sort of forget about the running game as the game goes on. And I think that's been a common complaint amongst Rams fans and people who've watched the Rams over the last few years, is that, you know, they've been very good on the ground theoretically and really since Sean McVay walked into the door in 2017. And so when you're gaining 5, 6, 7, 10-yard gains every time you're running the ball, I would love to see them just kind of stick to that more, as opposed to, you know, standing Jared Goff up in the back of the pocket there. And you know, he's not a very mobile guy. So at times, you know, it can seem like he's a statue. And if the offensive line doesn't give him, you know, the perfect pocket, things can crumble very quickly. So I would love to see him just generally stick with the run more. Now, through these first 2 weeks of the 2020 season, obviously things look very good. The Rams are running the ball a ton, but at some point, you know, they're going to have to throw the ball. And I wonder if he's going to kind of revert to how he's been in the past in terms of getting too pass heavy and sort of forgetting about the run, or if he's kind of adjusted it. And I think also having an offensive coordinator, a legitimate one this season, and Kevin O'Connell is doing a huge service for him in terms of just preparing things on game day, because obviously coaches, specifically ones who call plays like Sean McVay, you know, they can kind of get lost and probably forget in terms of things they might have wanted to do in games. So I think having a guy, you know, to his right-hand side, and Kevin O'Connell's doing a big favor for really everyone in terms of keeping that running game involved. And then just some other minor little things like, you know, Sean McVay's never been shy about wasting timeouts and, you know, things like that. So, and as well as, you know, calling fake punts and using challenge flags early. And so that's all minor stuff. But for me, the biggest gripe and something that, you know, I'm looking forward to being fixed and so far has been, is just sticking with that running game more often.
Now, so when I look over this Rams defense, I see some big names. Aaron Donald, who's the best defensive football player in the world. Jalen Ramsey are, you know, another elite talent. You see some good players like John Johnson and Michael Brockers. And then I see a lot of question marks in my mind, a lot of very unproven players filling key roles. You got guys like Jordan Fuller, a six-round rookie at safety that's starting, Micah Kizer at linebacker, Kenny Young at linebacker, Darius Williams, a UDFA a couple of years ago. These are all starters for this Rams defense. You have Brandon Staley, who is very inexperienced when it comes to coaching in the NFL, and he's already a defensive coordinator. So I'm really anxious to find out what you've learned about this Rams defense so far through two games, and if maybe I'm underselling some of the players that are claiming bigger roles that just aren't household names yet at this point.
Yeah, I think that's generally a fair assessment, right? Is that the Rams have kind of taken a stars and scrubs approach, really, in terms of their whole roster, but specifically on that defense, like you mentioned, obviously a lot of assets in terms of, you know, draft picks and money in particular. We're invested in guys like Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and that only leaves so much left over for everyone else. Now, for me, I think basically what we've seen from the defense this season is really what I expected. You know, they're going to have to rely on that secondary. The pass defense is really going to have to carry the defense. And so through the first two games, I think they've done a really good job of doing that. Obviously, they played two very, you know, interesting and theoretically speaking, very talented offenses. And one that just put up nearly 40 points against the Atlanta Falcons in week 2 and the Dallas Cowboys, and the Rams held them to 17 points. So I think the secondary's, you know, playing very, very well right now. They're going to definitely have to carry this team because, like you mentioned, there are a lot of question marks, specifically in that front seven. I think when you look at the inside linebacker position, you know, a guy like Micah Kizer, he's going to have a lot of box score stats, but I don't know just how consistent he is, especially when it comes to coverage. And then next to him, you got another guy who's never really started in Kenny Young. And, you know, there's question marks in terms of, can he play the run? Can he be physical in the box? So I think, you know, there's a lot of question marks there. And then the pass rush, I think, has mostly, you know, outside of Aaron Donald, has just really been non-existent. I think, you know, you need more out of those guys, particularly on the edge, in guys like Leonard Floyd, who the Rams invested in. Now, Floyd has proven, I think, to be just a fantastic run stuffer, and maybe that's what Rams wanted him to do at that same linebacker position, but somebody has to step up at some point in time because Aaron Donald can't be the only player in that front seven to apply pressure. But yeah, just in general, I think, you know, that secondary is really playing well. They're going to have to rely on them. Obviously, guys like Jalen Ramsey, who, you know, you can see in his responsibilities where the Rams are happy to shade safeties away from him and just kind of let him be one-on-one on an island and rely on him in terms of, you know, using his elite talent to lock up essentially the elite receivers that he's going against on a weekly basis. And same thing for the opposite side. Now, Darius Williams is getting a lot more help than a guy like Ramsey, but I think Williams is arguably playing better. Now, obviously, his assignment is going to be a little bit easier, but coming off of last game, he allowed a 25.0 passer rating in week 2, which, you know, if Carson Wentz just threw the ball in the dirt every snap, he would have had a 39.0 pass rating. So, as you can imagine, obviously, Williams had a fantastic game, and I think he's had a really good start to the season. So, the defense, to me, has really been pretty much exactly what I expected coming into 2020.
So, when you think about this specific game, Rams taking on the Bills on Sunday, what are some of the advantages that you believe LA has that could lead to success on Sunday?
Yeah, so I think they're going to have to do more of the same, essentially, at least offensively. So, you know, they played the Dallas Cowboys in week 1, who have a really good defensive line. They played the Philadelphia Eagles in week two, who have arguably the best defensive line in football. And now, you know, the Bills, again, one of the best defensive lines in football. Now, I think the Bills have a more complete defense than those first two in terms of just from front to back end. I think that's a very elite unit. Now, you know, I think the Rams are going to have to essentially just do more of the same. So I think using the aggressiveness of the Bills' defense is something that's going to be, you know, very key when it comes to just getting those guys moving in different directions by utilizing the screen game, by utilizing, you know, jet sweeps like they have, and getting Jared Goff. You don't really want him to sit back there in the pocket. Obviously, that pocket's going to collapse very quickly with how talented that defensive line is. You're going to have to move him. There's going to be a lot of bootlegs, a lot of play actions, a lot of, you know, just moving his launch points, really. So I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of the same of what we've seen in the first 2 weeks. And then when I look at the opposite side of the ball, well, you know, the Bills' offense is playing very well, just like the defense's. And so, you know, that's why they're 2-0. But I think really the Rams' best shot, and it kind of ties into their philosophy in terms of their defense, is that, you know, they want to keep big plays away. They're happy to keep everything in front of them. They're happy to, you know, provide offenses with 5 or 7 or 9 yard gains, and you know, theoretically speaking, have to get these 12 to 15 to 17 play drives to score, as opposed to getting beat over the top. And so I think that kind of pairs well and matches up well with you know, how the Bills want to play offensively, and specifically how Josh Allen wants to play. Now, you know, he's not a guy who's going to want to check the ball down time after time after time. And so I think if the Rams can get him baited into making, you know, one or two bad mistakes in terms of pushing the ball deep when he shouldn't be, you know, if they can capitalize on those mistakes, I think that's a very big area for them to take advantage of in terms of their defensive play. Now, it's going to be key number one, just really not allowing Allen and not allowing guys like Stephon Diggs and John Brown, who are two of the league's best receivers, to get vertical and get over top of their coverage. So I think, you know, there's some areas for sure where they have advantages, and they're just going to have to capitalize this week.
What about the other side of things? When you think about the Rams playing the Bills, what are some of the concerns that have you nervous for Sunday?
Yeah, so, I mean, I touched on it a little bit earlier, but that Bills defensive line is definitely concerning to me. You know, I know the Rams, their offensive line have, you know, played pretty well through the first 2 weeks and definitely been surprising to me, but I think you've seen them take a bit of a step back in week two, even though the offense performed better, which is kind of weird to say, but I think you've seen them take a bit of a step back, and you know, there wasn't really many true drop pack passing attempts for Jared Goff in the past 2 weeks. And so I think the Rams are ultimately going to have to emulate a similar strategy coming into this week, just because, you know, this defensive line can very easily overpower an offensive line. And so the Rams obviously had an injury at left guard, and now they have a new player coming in at left guard with Joe Noteboom being ruled out this week. And that could really mess with the chemistry and, you know, their ability to gel there on the left side. But that's definitely the biggest concern for me, is the Bills' defensive line. I think, you know, they're going to definitely have to try and get them going east and west and kind of thinking, as opposed to just giving them opportunities to pin their ears back and, you know, let loose in the pass rush and go after Jared Goff. And then, you know, on the other side of the ball, I'm concerned about Josh Allen's mobility and, you know, everything that stems from his ability to extend plays. So, you know, he's one of the guys in the league who can really extend plays as long as he wants. He's very mobile. He's strong. He can shake off tacklers and, you know, would-be sacks. And I'm definitely concerned about his ability just to make plays out of structure. Obviously, you know, the longer a quarterback has in the pocket or outside the pocket to hold the ball, you know, the longer his receivers have to uncover. And the Rams just really have to rely on their coverage at this point in time. They don't have much of a pass rush. And so those are two areas that are very concerning to me, you know, on the offense and the defense.
If you're going to bet sports this season, make sure that you do it with MyBookie. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code LOCKEDON and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. It's designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
In the last segment, Locked On Bills host Joe Marino asked me 5 terrific questions about the Los Angeles Rams. But now we're going to flip the tables, and I'm going to ask my man Joe 5 questions on the Bills so you guys can just get to know the opponent better, you know, that's coming up in week 3 here. So how has the dynamic on offense played out? So obviously the Bills added, you know, Stephon Diggs and certain other players on the offense like Zach Moss. How are these guys fitting in alongside, you know, the previous players in John Brown and Devin Singletary?
Well, one of the most exciting things about the Bills offense, and I think why it's started the season so hot, is that you have so much time on task and continuity together. I know that Stephon Diggs is new this year and Zach Moss is new this year, but everything else about that offense returns from last year. And obviously this is Josh Allen's third season, and it's his third season with the same offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll. And so the scheme evolution that's been able to happen over that course of time has been really fun to watch. And Brian Daboll getting a chance to get to know Josh Allen and what is going to work and what Josh likes and really develop that rhythm as a quarterback play caller combination has been really exciting to see. And so what's interesting about answering that question, and you ask about the dynamic of this offense, is it's so different even from last year, where you're seeing a ton of 10 personnel. You're seeing a lot of vertical passing, successful vertical passing, which was not true about this offense last year. You're seeing not a fullback being used. You're seeing a tight end being used mostly as an H-back. They're very seldomly using an inline tight end. And so they're turning into a real spread offense, and they've got the receivers to do it. Obviously, bringing in Stephon Diggs to go with John Brown and Cole Beasley, and they drafted Gabriel Davis, and Isaiah McKenzie was a role player for them last year. So they kind of have these pieces working together in this chemistry and time on task that has led to a very complete offense, at least for two games so far this year. And the reality is they can win in so many different ways now that the vertical passing game seems to be working. Josh made great strides last year as an intermediate passer. They like to get the quarterback and run involved in the run game, but they can also run it traditionally. They like to get jet sweeps going with Isaiah McKenzie and stress you horizontally as well. So the interesting thing about the Bills offense is that the identity is that it doesn't have an identity, and it can evolve week to week to look different based on that opponent. And so when you ask what the dynamic is for the Bills offense, it's always a difficult question for me to answer because of how different the offense looks, not just year to year, but week to week.
Yeah, that makes sense. So transitioning to the other side of the ball, you know, the defense is obviously outstanding really on all three levels, and it's headlined by guys like Tre'Davious White and Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, as well as the two inside linebackers and many more. Where do you think they might actually be susceptible?
You know, the Sean McDermott, in a lot of ways, has been the defensive version of Sean McVay. I mean, just continuously productive, top-tier defensive units fielded year after year. And that's what I'm so excited about this game. You get to see, I think, one of the brightest defensive minds in the game going up against one of the brightest offensive minds in the game. And, you know, when you think about where I get nervous about the Bills defense and where it might be susceptible, it's when you have speed. That's what makes me nervous, because for as talented as the Bills are, their secondary doesn't have great speed. And you have guys like Levi Wallace, who is a very limited athlete. Even Trey White, who's one of the best 3-5 cornerbacks in the NFL, he's not a guy that's very explosive that can really carry routes vertically if you're going to stress them with a, you know, with the 4-3 guy like a Mecole Hardman or a Tyreek Hill or those types of players. And so that's where I get nervous. And I think the Rams have good speed, right? I mean, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, those are smooth athletes that run very well, but they're not super explosive where they're just going to win every single foot race that they can go up against. And what's interesting about my concern with speed is that the Bills don't very often give up big plays down the field. But I think that if you have that type of range that can really stress the Bills and get them in foot races, I'm not sure that they have the type of speed that can match up.
So the Rams' defense, you know, has been very keen on stopping big passing plays from happening this season. Do you think Josh Allen and the Bills' offense are capable of playing a more possession-based game with longer drives, you know, that amount to 10 or 15 plays?
Yeah, you know, this, if anyone's looking back at Miami last week, this is a very different defense that the Rams are going to throw out there this week. Obviously, Miami ran a ton of man coverage, and they have a very weak pass rush. And so Josh was able to let routes develop and, you know, guys run away from man coverage and hit them. And, you know, the Rams are going to play a ton of zone, and they're going to force you to, you know, really stack play after play after play to get down the field. And I guess what's interesting about that is the Bills last year, what was missing was the big play dynamic. They really weren't able to hook up on, you know, vertical shots down the field. And so whenever they had to score, it was those 10, 15 play drives, 75, 80 yard drives. I think the Bills were very high in the NFL last year when it comes to like touchdown drives of 70 or more yards. Now, that did make it difficult to score because it's hard to execute that consistently, that many plays in a row at this level. We know that. And so, you know, the Bills may have to resolve to taking a profit sometimes. And I think what's encouraging about that is that's what they did against the Jets. I mean, in that week one game, Josh Allen completed, I think, 33 of 46 passes. And so we saw Josh being willing to be more of a facilitator and take what the defense gives him. And, you know, eventually they're going to have to get some shots down the field. And I'm sure that part of Brian Daboll's plan will be scheming those opportunities up and trying to get different route combinations together that will free up and isolate guys down the field. But for the most part, I think it's going to be a different type of a plan for this Bills offense to have success against the Rams. And they're going to have to be willing to take profits and try to stay ahead of the sticks, because I don't think that the Rams are interested in allowing those deep passes to develop down the field.
Since Sean McVay took over the Rams, you know, they've had a ton of success with early games on the road. Where do you think, you know, the largest advantages and disadvantages are for the Bills when you compare the two teams?
It's interesting when you mention the road there. I know that the Rams originally wanted to have their two East Coast games back to back, and they would stay on the East Coast. And because of COVID, that's not going to be the case. So interesting to see how they kind of get out of that rhythm, and if that winds up impacting the Rams in a negative way. But when it comes to the matchup on the field, you know, I think about the Bills defensive line and what they've done to build it and add depth this offseason. Obviously they had Ed Oliver and Trent Murphy and Jerry Hughes and Harrison Phillips already in the mix, but they went out and they drafted AJ Epenesa and they signed Quentin Jefferson and Mario Addison to go to this unit. And they like to rotate guys and keep guys fresh and continuously send, you know, fresh legs at the offensive line. And I think they're 8-9 deep when it comes to like legit NFL players on the defensive line. And, you know, I know that the Rams offensive line has looked good so far this year and it's impressed me as well. But I still feel like there's some one-on-one matchup opportunities for the Bills to get after, particularly the interior guys. I have a lot of respect, obviously, for Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. But when you're talking about David Edwards and Austin Blythe and Austin Corbett on the interior, those are opportunities where guys like Quentin Jefferson and Ed Oliver and Vernon Butler need to win some matchups and get pressure in the face of Jared Goff. And we know, for as talented as Jared Goff is and how productive he's been in the NFL, when you get pressure on him, he becomes a different player, and his splits are starkly different whenever he's got to deal with pressure. So I think that's one opportunity that the Bills have. And then I think when you look at this defense, you know, I kind of alluded to it in the question that I asked, and I know that they're playing well for the most part this year, but you've got unproven players all over that defense that the Bills have established veterans on offense that they need to try to find opportunities for guys like John Brown to be matched up against a Darius Williams and see if you can get Stephon Diggs isolated on a safety like the Bills did last week with Bobby McCain. See what Jordan Fuller can do if you get situations where you're isolated up on those opportunities. And you got some young linebackers that are on this Rams defense. And can you, you know, draw up some screenplays and stress them in coverage? I know Micah Kizer surrendered 11 completions last week on 15 attempts. And I know that he was NFC Defensive Player of the Week, but and had 16 tackles, but that's because he gave up 11 completions. You know, so I think you have to go after those unproven players and see if they're up to the test.
So the Bills had, you know, multiple key players out with injuries in week two, which included the star-studded duo of Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. How do those guys look for this week, and how does the rest of the injury report look for week three?
I'll tell you what, the Bills missed Edmonds and Milano last week against Miami. Mike Gesicki, their tight end, had 8 catches for 130 yards, if I'm not mistaken, and a touchdown. And the Bills just didn't have an answer. And that's where Matt Milano is so important to this defense in terms of matching up with tight ends. And the Bills are very good against tight ends last year. But, you know, when you take out Matt Milano, it's a different looking defense. Now, the good news for the Bills is that Milano practiced in full on Wednesday. And that's a good start to his availability being cleared for Sunday. obviously Tremaine Edmonds, a big time player, former first round pick, very young player, was a Pro Bowler last year, a two-time team captain. I mean, he's a quarterback of the defense, and he's 6'5", 250, and he runs 4.5, and he has 35-inch arms. And so when you think about a passing game like the Rams and a lot of timing and a lot of short throws and a lot of yards after catch, having that type of length and range in the middle of the field to close on those routes and get into throwing windows is going to be critical. He practiced as well on Wednesday. So I'll tell you that the game looks very different to me with and without Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, but so far so good when it comes to the idea of their availability for Sunday, and otherwise the Bills are a healthy football team.
Joe, my man, thank you for hopping on with me today. I had a tremendous time, and I think, you know, both Bills and Rams fans learned a lot from this crossover special episode that we hosted together. Best of luck to both teams on Sunday as we get to see two of the NFL's 11 undefeated teams face off in Buffalo. The Los Angeles Rams, the Buffalo Bills, Week 3, mark it on your calendars. And just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QB's MVP, and you can find our page at Locked On Rams, and you can find Joe at the Joe Marino and the Bills' page at Locked On Bills. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.